Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by Nicole Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
People connect, families grow, lives change. People connect, families grow, lives change.
Then we are preaching today about braving the bridge. Everybody say, brave the bridge. This is just going to be one of those services where you're going to have to say a lot of stuff because I'm keyed up. You know what I mean? And I mean, I could preach by myself, but that's only so much fun. It's like when you preach with other people and you just get going, you can break chains. All right? So there's this guy and he has a pocket knife, right? And with this pocket knife, he says he has cut off the tail of a man-eating lion. This is his claim to fame. He tells this story at every party and every get-together. It's like, I cut off the tail of a man-eating lion. He tells the story over and over and over again. Finally, one guy comes up to him and says, if it was a man-eating lion, why did you cut off his tail? Why didn't you cut off his head? He said, that's easy. Somebody else had already done that. Being brave isn't the same thing for everybody, is it? No. You know, matter of fact, I got a friend of mine at a restaurant that's not too far from here because there's just something about church that makes me hungry. I mean, not like hungry. I'm not that girl who's like, oh, I'm hungry. I think I'll have a salad. Salads are rabbit food. I don't even order a salad on my first date. On my first date with Pastor David, we went to the restaurant. The waiter came to the table and said, can I get you, can I take your order, please? And I said, yes, sir. I would like a hot fudge sundae right now before the meal, please. And David looked at me, and I said, don't worry, I'm not going to have a salad for dinner either. I eat like a real woman eats. And he looked at me again. I said, what are you scared? Didn't you bring your wallet? Because this is going to cost money. I'm hungry. Church makes me hungry. How many of y'all know where you're going after, right? Church makes you hungry. Hungry. So I like to go to a buffet because the food is already ready already, and we can just get straight down to business. And when there's only so many of those, so you make friends, and the people at the buffets in this town are my family. You tell them that Pastor Nicole said hello when you get there. Ask them where my credit card, or my Christmas card is. And my credit card, I probably left it at the restaurant. So I started making friends with this one guy, and when I first started talking to him, he was not friendly. He knew we were pastors, and he didn't really like that. And I'm like, hey, man, you should come to church right now. He said, I don't go to church. I go to the casino. I'm like, that's cool. Go to this casino. Before you go to bed, come to church, because you're probably going to stay up all night gambling, then come, and then go to bed. And so we've been doing this for some time now, and now I come in, and I hadn't been to that restaurant in a couple of months. I'm like, hey, man, how you doing? I missed you at church today. When are you going to come to church and see me preach? And he said, you know what? I'm going to get a Sunday off, and I'm going to come see you preach. He might even be here today because he told me. I told him, like, I'm preaching next week, man. You got to come see me. And he said, I'm going to do it. Well, he has this loudmouth friend who's next to him in the restaurant. In the middle of the restaurant, he says, you're going to go to church? What? He said, I bet you didn't tell her you smoked, did you? He smokes. You probably don't want him at your church. I'm like, half our church smokes, whatever. And he's like, no. He parties too, man. You don't even know how he parties. I'm like, half our church parties too. He's like, you don't want him at your church. I said, not only do I want him to come to church, I want him to sit on the front row with me and Pastor David. If you're available that day, you can come with him too. We'll even take you. And I didn't realize that when we invite people to church, it seems like maybe a small step to me. Like, right, I'll invite you to church. You just come with me sometime. No big deal. But some people, they got bigger bridges. What looks small might actually be bigger. And this is a bigger step, a harder step for him. And when I went back to my table and sat down, another one of my friends was still up there. The guy didn't know it. And he started bad-mouthing Faith Church. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, Jesus, forgive him for that. He started saying, what kind of church is it that would want someone like you to come in the church? He's like, I surprised the roof could fall. What is the world coming to? I don't even know what. I wouldn't go to that church. I'm like, well, that's no loss. You're obviously not going to any church. But some people actually have to fight for what looks like a small step because maybe it's a bigger step in their life. And I tell that story to ask you this. What is God working on in your life right now? Who's he got crossing your path? Who's he got coming up to you and trying to pull you into that next thing that God has for you? What's the bridge in your life? And what's that greater thing that God is trying to attract you to? Because where you are in life right now is not where God wants to leave you. No matter how good it is, no matter how calm it is at this moment, we're supposed to go from faith to faith. We're supposed to go from victory to victory. And it says greater things are yet to come. No matter what it looks like right now, whether you're sick, whether you're healed, whether you're in lack or you're in abundance, whether you're peaceful or you're in wartime, greater things are yet to come. We're not staying right here where we are. We're going to the other side. John 14:12. It says right here, it says, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done and even greater works because I go to be with the Father. This is Jesus saying these words. So, I mean, he's like multiplying fish, multiplying bread. He's raising the dead, making lame people walk. And then there's us. How many of you haven't raised anybody from the dead this week? Right? It's like, Jesus, you know, you did some pretty big stuff. What do you mean you want me to do greater things? You see, God has a life planned for you, and it's not what your life looks like right now. There's another side of the bridge that you can't quite see all the way because our thoughts are not his thoughts and our ways are not his ways. So we get to this side of the bridge and we're looking over and it's like, I can't quite see what exactly is on the other side, but God can see it over there. He can see the healing. He can see the peace. He can see the restoration. He can see the redemption. He can see the chains breaking. He can see the blessing that he has for you. But we can't see it quite yet. So we have to trust him. We got to go ahead and take some steps over the bridge. David and I went to buy a house back in the 90s. We wanted to move out to the country. And I was in the corporate world at the time. And we looked and looked and looked. And we could not find a house to save our lives. We finally find this house. And the very first time we look at it, we're in the house for about an hour. And we're like, this is it. We are buying this house. We are putting a contract on this puppy right now. So we told the real estate agent, hey, we want to put a contract on this house. And he said, you know, I never like to put a contract on a house the first time somebody sees it. Y'all go home and sleep on it. And tomorrow, if you still want it, we can put a contract on the house. I said, or you could call your office and see who wants to sell a house today because I'm going to buy one. So he's like, well, if you insist, but I mean, I'd really like y'all to sleep on it. I'm like, no, we want to write this up. We've been looking forever. What I didn't realize at the time is that the real estate agent had ulterior motives. You see, a couple days later, they call up me and David, and they say, we really need to meet with y'all in our office. And we said, can we talk about it over the phone? No, you got to come here. We got so nervous, we brought our parents. I need my mama and my daddy and Bubba and all them to come to the office with me because this is weird. We get to the office, and they say, hey, here's a little scenario. There were some people that were in contract on the house before you. They were negotiating on the price, and it lapsed the day you put in the contract. The day you put in the contract, they came out of contract. But they were going to submit the contract the next day. They just hadn't got around to it yet. So they wanted to come back in the contract, but your contract came in before theirs. So they're threatening to sue us. So what we really want you to do is we want you to not buy the house so these people don't sue us. I'm like, let me get what you're saying straight right here. You're telling me I have a contract. Yes. You're telling me those people were out of contract. Yes. You're telling me that those people might sue you if we don't give up the house. Yes. But you're telling me that this is my house because I have a contract for it. Yes. I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Because I was in the corporate world and I dealt with contracts every single day. I know that whatever it is that is written in black and white on the paper, once you sign that paper, that's the way it goes, baby. Whether you like it, whether you don't like it, whether it makes you happy, whether it makes you sad, this is the way it is. This is legal. It is documented. Nobody can change it because it's ink and paper. So I said, me and my husband are going to Ponderosa because I'm hungry. And they have an all-you-can-eat salad bar that's ready right now. And we were in the country, so that's the best steakhouse you're going to get. And my husband looked at me and said, I'm not hungry, Nicole. I can't eat right now. I just lost my appetite. I said, baby, don't you worry about this. I said, we're going to be gone for about an hour. You guys work this whole thing out. We'll come back, and we'll just move forward. And so we left, and we came back an hour later, and they said, you know, it's not going to work out. They said they're going to sue us if we don't get you out of this contract. And I said, well, you know, since I have ink and paper, And since I am in a contract, and since it says the house is mine, and because I want the house, I'm not going to let some roaring lion or some upset person who is too busy haggling come in and steal my blessing. I'm going to go ahead and take that house. They might sue you. They don't have merit. I will sue you. I do have merit. That house is going to be mine. And I want to tell you, you got a contract. You got ink on paper telling you who you are, how life goes, that God stands for you, that greater things are yet to come, that you have a blessed life, that God is a healer, that God is a provider, that it doesn't matter what the circumstances say, it doesn't matter what the enemy says. You got a contract right here. And whoever comes up against it, you tell them, you just read my contract. And it's not signed with some cheap pen from a bank with a name on it who wants to loan you money. It is signed with the blood of Jesus from the cross of Calvary. And baby, that's a real kind of ink. It's signed in blood. Touch your neighbor and tell them, I got a contract. Yes, you do. And it is legit. And you know what? In Joshua 23, it says, not one word, not one word has failed all the good things that the Lord your God has promised concerning you. Not one word. All have come to pass. Not a one of them has failed. You see, the enemy gets involved in a situation and he wants to keep you from your blessing. Because when we were on this side of the bridge, what we saw is a house that was for sale for $165,000. We couldn't see the other side of the bridge. All we knew is that there was a problem, a circumstance trying to keep us from getting there. It was basically a roaring lion. 1 Peter 5:8 says the enemy goes about as a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. And I get curious when I read stuff because I don't know much about roaring lions. So I Google immediately, when does a lion roar? And there's a bunch of junk on the internet. So I go to Wikipedia. I want to know what they got to say. Because it's on the internet does not mean it's true, right? So I look it up. And when does a lion roar? You know, if he's seeking to whom he may devour, the enemy's going about this thing all wrong. Because a lion does not roar when he's hunting. We're going to do something real quick. I'm going to count to three, and we are going to roar together loudly. Go ahead and get in touch with your inner actor, right? You're going to do this, and you're going to do this loud, and we're going to do it strong because it's going to make a point. So when I count to three, we're all going to roar together. Ready? One, two, three. Roar! Do y'all think they heard us two doors down? No, it wasn't that loud, right? When a lion roars, his roar can be heard for 5 miles. Now, if you are a gazelle and you hear a lion roar, are you going to stay or are you going to go? Right? For 5 miles, all of his prey is going to leave. So when a lion opens his mouth, it is not to hunt. When a lion roars, it is to establish his territory. So what the enemy is actually doing when he's roaring at you, when he's making noise, when he's trying to scare you off the bridge, when he's trying to keep you back and keep you on this side, he's trying to establish his territory and keep you out of it. And the territory he's trying to keep you out of is the territory of blessing. It is the promised land. It is where God has that thing for you. All he can do is open up his mouth and roar, baby, because you got a contract that says he can't get you. He cannot devour you because God has angel armies in heaven ready to protect you. In Jesus' name, somebody give God a good amen. Yes. So we can't be nervous about what that lion is doing, and we can't be nervous about what that lion is saying. Joshua, he's in the Bible, and he's the guy who came up after Moses. Now, Moses had the Israelites. He got them out of Egypt. He got them to the promised land, but these people would not cross over. They spent 40 years looking at their giants. So after looking at them for 40 years, Moses finally passes away, and Joshua is the next in line. And God says to Joshua, in Joshua 1:2, he says, Joshua, Moses, my servant, he's dead. Therefore, I want you to arise and go. Say that with me, arise and go. Arise and go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to a land which I am giving them. You see, God doesn't want us to stay where we are. He doesn't want us to look at the promised land. He doesn't want us to drive a broke down car and look at a sinner driving something nice. He doesn't want us to live in a bad neighborhood and think that we got to cheat to get into the good neighborhood. He doesn't want us to live in sickness and think everybody's out there disgracing God but living in health. No, that's not the life that God has designed. He has designed us to live strong. He has designed us to shine like a city on a hill. He has designed us to be so salty, other people look at us and say, "What do you got? Because I want that." And you can't do that in a car that's held together with duct tape. Amen? God wants us to shine for Him. But we got to be able to step over into that blessing. We have to arise and go. But it's scary, especially when the enemy is turning up the heat. You know, the Bible says 365 different times, it says, "Do not be afraid." I think that's really cool. It's almost like every day, once for every single day, God put in there a reminder for us. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I got your back. Don't be afraid. It's going to be okay. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. Greater is He that is within, He that's in me than he that's in the world. Don't be afraid. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Don't be afraid. He gives us all of this reminder to not be afraid. And it's okay. He knows we're going to be afraid because that's a natural part of us. So He reminds us time and time again that we don't necessarily have to be afraid. He tells us, be strong and be of good courage. He had to even go up to Joshua and do that in Joshua 1 verse 6. He has to tell Joshua three different times in four different verses the exact same words. He says, be strong and of good courage, for this people you shall divide an inheritance of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all that the law, which my Moses servant, commanded you. Then he says again in verse 9, have I not commanded you? Now there is a commanded blessing. God has commanded a blessing on your life. He put you on this earth to live a Zoe kind of life. What does Zoe mean? Zoe translated means God kind of life. And a Zoe life isn't the life that we're created to live in heaven. He created Zoe life for us to live on earth. So how many of you would say you're not living God's kind of life on earth just yet? There's more room for God to work in your life. So I'm here to tell you, don't get comfortable over here. Don't get comfortable looking over to the promised land. Don't get comfortable thinking, boy, I wish I sure could. Don't be comfortable saying, well, that's for them and not for me. Don't get comfortable if I wasn't born on this side of town. Don't get comfortable with, well, because I couldn't get the education. Don't get comfortable with, well, my mama and daddy said I couldn't. Don't get comfortable there, because those are just different roars of the lion trying to keep you over here. You go ahead and get comfortable with what God said about you. And He said you're a king. He said you're a priest. You are a king's kid. And you got a father who is the master of the universe. And He is pulling for you, telling you, go get there in my commanded blessing. But to get there, then He commands us. You know, there's a difference in how you tell your kid to take out the trash, when you tell them to take out the trash and when you command them to take out the trash, right? You start with, like God did, He said, hey, baby, you go take out the trash. Well, they didn't take out the trash. He told us be strong and very courageous. We didn't do it. You tell them again, hey, baby, can you go take out the trash? God tells us again, be strong and very courageous. Ain't nobody doing it, right? So you know, to get your baby's attention, you can say the exact same words, but you just turn the request into a command. And you said, baby, you take out the trash. And suddenly your children develop ears and they can hear your voice. God is commanding us, be strong and very courageous. Joshua 1 and 9, let's put it up on the screen for everybody to see. Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is with you right now. God is with you in the car. God is with you when they gave you the diagnosis, and God is with you when that enemy comes. God was with me when they told me I couldn't buy the house, and God was with me when I put my key in the door and I opened up the door to my house. God is with you every step of the way. And I think we somehow forget the value of God being with us. We have a church in West Palm Beach, and if we get a day off down there, Disney's only a couple hour drive, so we'll drive up to Disney and we'll go to Disney for the day because we got season passes, because we got an address down there. And we met one of our worship leaders there. And as we were going in, we were there already and they showed up. And I said, awesome, where's your tickets so we can get fast passes? They said, oh, we don't have tickets. I said, oh, you got a wristband. Y'all got season passes. They said, no, we don't have season passes. I said, you don't have tickets. You don't have passes. How'd you get in? They said, oh, we didn't pay. What? And the husband told us, yeah, Brittany just has this way. She goes up to ticket offices and she's like, hey, we're here. If you got tickets, me and my family, we really need in. Can we get in, please? Can you guys give us tickets? And they let us in. I'm like, how many of you are skeptical right now? I'm like, I am so not buying the story, right? So I'm like, okay, whatever. So no fast passes for us. We're going to wait in all the lines. Awesome. This is great. We go to the first line, and it's a 60-minute line. I am not thrilled about this. So, you know, Brittany comes up, and she says, hey, you guys just wait right here. Give me 1 minute. I'm going to go talk to the Disney people. Now, I'm here to tell you that the Disney people are not nice. They work for Disney, but I think they're Satan in these cute little outfits. Because if you wait in this line for an hour, if you're me, you get hungry. And you have to use the bathroom. So I leave to get a snack and use the bathroom. I try and go back and catch up with my family and wave in and out of the line. And they grab me by the shirt, pull me out of the line. I said, ma'am, we don't do line butting here at Disney. We'd be happy to escort you out of the park. I said, I just had to use the bathroom. I was going to wet my pants. Right? So these are the people she's dealing with. And so her husband tells David and I, you just give her a minute. Brittany will come back. She'll get us to the front of the line. We'll go right in. She gets this golden ticket thing, and we will go straight to the front of the line all day long. We won't wait in line all day long. I am not buying this. And Anthony says, no, seriously, it just happens for us all the time. We actually put it on our Instagram where you put it, hashtag I'm with Brittany. Whatever. So Brittany comes back, and she said, okay, guys, follow me. And when you need to get through the line, just tell them that you're with me. I'm like, okay. So we start going through the line, and they stop me, and they say, ma'am, you need your fast pass to get on the ride. I said, I don't have a fast pass to get on the ride. I'm so sorry, you can't get on. I said, but I'm with Brittany. And they went, oh, you're with Brittany. Go ahead. What? This happens all day long on all of these rides. I promise you, if the police in St. Louis pull me over, I'm going to tell them I'm with Brittany. But I'm with Brittany. I'm here to tell you right now, as cool as Brittany is, God is so much cooler than Brittany. And God with us is so much more powerful than Brittany with us. And God can get you to the front of the line. You look like you're in the back, God can put you in the front. You look like you can't get in the park, God can put you in the park. God can open doors and get you places and give you opportunities that not even Brittany can get you. Amen? God is getting David and I to Donald Trump's office tomorrow morning. Oh my gosh, what is going on here? Somebody's got to set that man straight, and y'all know I can't keep my mouth shut. How does God favor somebody like David and myself to get into a situation like that? It's God with us. It's God in us. As greater things are yet to come, it's greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. It's Emmanuel. It is Jehovah Jireh. It's Jehovah Shammah. It's Jehovah Rapha. I'm telling you right now, God is a good God. And we get held back and we get a little nervous. There's this guy, man, he's about 5 foot tall, and he goes up to the pearly gates of St. Peter, and he's like, hey, you know, I'm here to get into heaven. And St. Peter says, did you ever do anything brave or courageous or of any merit? Did you want us to know about before you get into heaven? And he said, well, there was this one time, there was this group of bikers, and they were picking on this old man, and I felt really bad for him, so I went up to him, and I went to the biggest, baddest, most tattooed biker, and I ripped out his nose ring, and I smacked him in the face, and I kicked over his bike, and I told him, you will leave that little old man alone, or you will answer to me. St. Peter went, wow, you are one bad dude. How old were you when this happened? And the guy said, about 2 minutes ago. The situation might look scary, and you might not know how to handle it, but we're not going to let the enemy press us down to the bottom of the barrel. You see, there's a caterpillar. He's a little inch long thing. You ever seen him walk? They like squinch up and they stretch out a little bit, and they squinch up and they stretch out a little bit, but they don't get very far very fast. They stay down low. They eat leaves. They move just a little bit. They ain't cute. Nobody wants to pet one. If one of them falls on you, you're like, oh! Try and get it off you. Nobody's excited about it. The enemy would love for you to just think that inch by inch, it's a cinch. I'll just keep a low profile. I'll just stay down here. Don't want anybody getting aggravated about the fact that God bless me. I mean, oh goodness, you know, I don't want to shine out for Jesus or nothing. I'll just stay down here. I'm just a worm and a grub. I hate Christians that think they're worms and grubs because that's not in the Bible. We are not worms and we are not grubs. We're king's kids. We are royalty. We are masterpieces created in Christ Jesus, according to Ephesians. Ain't nothing about a worm and a grub. It's all about what we look like when we are clothed in His righteousness, which He died to give us. So why would we turn down a gift like that? If He died to give it to us, we might as well take it. Amen? Amen. So this caterpillar's inching along in life, and the enemy wants to keep us there. But the caterpillar goes into a cocoon, and that's us. We get into this tight place where we have to push and struggle to get out a little bit. Now, he has to push hard, and it takes a process. And if you watch it happen on a time lapse, it only comes open a little bit at a time and a little bit at a time and a little bit at a time. If you go into that cocoon with a little knife to try and help the butterfly out, you're actually not helping the butterfly at all. You're hindering the butterfly, because if we cut the butterfly out of the cocoon, when it comes out, it will die because it's not strong enough to fly. So I'm here to tell you that God is not an easy God. Don't nobody want the easy girl from school like a doorknob. Everybody had a turn? That's not God. He's not there for us when we want Him, there for us if we want Him. We just reach out and turn that little doorknob anytime we want because God's easy and greasy. Now, God is grace-filled, and God has made us a promise. But He wants us to come to Him and believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He wants us to arise and go. It's a theology, I like to say, this is really bad grammar, but good theology. It's called you do, He do. You have to do your part before He will do His part. The part we do is in the natural, and we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. We take a step in the natural when it looks like we shouldn't be taking a step, and God says, I recognize what that is. That's faith. I can work with that. And then God in heaven puts the super on our natural, and then when those two come together, suddenly funky things start happening in our life. And how many of you know God has intervened on your behalf and given you things you couldn't have possibly gotten by yourself? And I don't want you to be confused. God, every good and every perfect gift, it comes from above. The thief comes, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. Good, God, bad, devil. If you got it, say got it.
Got it.
That's parts easy. Here's where people get a little bit confused. Good God, bad devil, but God's not easy. Right? So just because you're in a position that's not easy, it doesn't mean that God can't use that to strengthen your faith and to make you strong and to help convert you from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Because you might be thinking, I don't know if I want to fly. What if I fail? Darling, you are asking the right question. What if you fly? God wants you to fly. God wants you to soar. God wants you to go up with wings as eagles. He wants you to run and not grow weary. He wants you to walk and not faint. For the Lord, He goes before us, and He is our strength. Here's the thing. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Be strong and courageous. We look at us and we go, no, but I'm weak. No, our flesh is weak. We are weak. But that's when there's a gap and we know that God is strong. He comes in and fills in that gap. So we know we can't do it without Him. So our flesh has to be weak enough to do it without Him. So we actually call on Him. He comes in, He fills in the gap. And then we're strong in the Lord, the power of His might. We're strong enough to cross the bridge. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And then suddenly we're taking steps. And it doesn't matter who's roaring, who's yelling, who's kicking, who's screaming. We go ahead and we cross into the blessed life that God has for us. Amen? Sometimes you just got to rear up and push with everything that you've got. Because God doesn't want you to be just strong enough to pray for you. He wants you to be so strong in your faith in Him and see so many prayers answered that you start getting outside of yourself. You'll start praying for your family. You'll start praying for your neighbors. You'll start praying for the people at church. You'll start praying for the people at work. You know, the ones you really want to lay hands on? He wants you to be salt and he wants you to be light, but we can't do that if we are weak and emaciated. We have to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, I have a little dog, and actually it's Morgan and Austin's dog. They have a 5-pound dog. In our house, this dog is a hoss because I have a 2-pound dog and my daughter has a 2-pound dog. This 5-pound dog is muscular and strong. This 5-pound dog dominates. She thinks she's a Doberman. So if you close the door in the house, you got to be sure that you close it until you hear the door, until you hear it latch. Because if the door doesn't latch and this 5-pound dog wants in, she will get up on her back legs. She will put her front 2 paws on the door and she will lean all of her weight on that door to see if she can push that door open because she really wants to go in the room and potty on the carpet where you're at. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to rear up in what you've got. He wants you to put your hands on the door of the opportunity. He wants you to lean into him and push with all you've got and know that God's going to fill in that gap because you don't know how strong you are until all you have left is your strength. And remember, it's God with us. It's God in us. And his strength comes together with us. I'm going to close with this story. There's a guy and his name is Ray. He lives in Ohio. And back in 1989, there were these really bad storms. And in the back of his house is like this drainage ditch. And it's empty most of the time, but when the rain comes, it fills up. And it's kind of like a roaring river. But it's not nearly as bad as the culvert that it empties into down the street, which is actually so dangerous they have like fences on either side of it. Well, he's eating breakfast, and it had been raining, and he sees a little girl floating down in this drainage ditch behind his house. He immediately runs out of his house and starts running on the grass, trying to get up in front of the girl. He finally does, and he dives into the water, grabs the little girl, and he's trying to stop him along the concrete edges, but he can't find anything to grab onto, and they're getting really close to that main ditch, and he knows they'll both die if he doesn't get something. He finally grabs onto a rock or something, and he just keeps praying because the water is really pulling on him. He's like, God, just help me hold on until help comes. Help me hold on until help comes. When you cry out to God, he hears you. And he had the strength to pull him and that little baby out of the water. By the time the fire department came, they were both out on the side. They came, they treated him for shock. And they were so amazed at what this man did and how selfless it was that they give him the Coast Guard Silver Medal of Honor on April 12, 1989. And when Ray Blankenship went up to receive the award, he said, thank you so much for this award. It's something I never thought I would get. I can't even swim. You don't know how strong you are until the only thing you have left is your strength. I'm here to tell you this morning, God can fill in those gaps. God can help you do those things that you can't do. God is with you. God is in you. God is for you. And I want to pray for you right now with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you need me to pray for bravery, for courage, for God to strengthen you, to stand with you, so you can see the other side of that situation and you have the courage to not bow to the enemy, not quit, to not bail, to not give in, but to go all the way for that thing God has for you, would you raise your hands online, on television, here, so we know who we're praying for this morning? Just about every hand raised. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we decree and declare that you are with us. That we believe you, that we trust you. We have faith in you. We know that we are not enough, but we know that you are more than enough. And God, you will fill in that gap. We will not back down because our trust is in you. We will move forward so that you can bless our movement. We will do our part so that you can come together with it. God, we thank you for being our Savior. We thank you for being our Redeemer. We thank you for being our Restorer. And right now, I declare the hand of the Lord. I declare the blood of Jesus. I declare the protection of the angels surrounding us, that God is out before us, that God is behind us, that God is surrounding us with angel armies so we can go and take that promised land. And that Zoe life, that territory that you have promised us in your word, in our contract, in Jesus' name. And if you believe he's a good God, would you say amen and give him a hand clap of praise? Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
For more information about Pastor Nicole's teachings and ministry, visit NicoleCrank.com. We will connect families, grow life.
share.